seventh chapter of Mark, and with the
ninth verse. And he said to them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, C. Simone. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, friends, I say this almost every week, but oh, I wish you'd have been with us to Burlington Prison last Sunday. The trio, my wife and I, went there. And there was 13 people, including the chaplain, came forward. The chaplain had come forward to be saved. He already was saved, but he wanted to rededicate his life to have holy boldness so they might be a better witness for Christ. Every one of us need to do that every day, recommit our lives to Christ that he might use us. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Why don't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, for what you did up there in Burlington last week. Oh, God, and for that dear chaplain, how we love that guy. He's down to earth. He's down, he knows how to deal with people. I pray, Lord, you'd bless him and his leadership and those men. Thank you for those who come trusting Christ and those who rededicate their lives. I pray for their dear families. Lord, they're just as much hurt as the ones incarcerated. Now I pray, Lord, for all of our radio listening family. Lord, we have so many nice, wonderful prayer warriors that we just love and appreciate so much. And Lord, a lot of these things could not be done had it not been for the kindness of our listeners, and we just want to thank you and ask you to bless them beyond measure. And Father, now I pray that you'll give me the strength to speak tonight. Lift up Jesus, honor your word, hide me behind the cross, and oh God, would you save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray, amen. Your Bibles with you, turn with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter, and let's begin reading in the 10th verse. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, but now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore, to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Notwithstanding, Ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Euphrodius the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Friends, this message is for people who have a hard time believing that God will in fact supply all their needs. Paul knew what it was, he knew what it was to live by faith. He also knew what it was to have Christians help support his ministry. You know, there were times when Paul didn't have any money, and he had a trade, and he would sit down and he'd make a tent, and he'd sell it, and he'd go about his business. Well, my tent making was my roofing business. That's the way I supported myself for many, many years. Paul said this was the fruit that would abound to their account. And you've heard me mention this to you several times, friends. Now, this is not a message to get finances. This is not what it's meant for. God knows it isn't. But, you know, I have told people many times that if you'd like to help us with our prison ministries, it would be a blessing not only to us and the prisoners, but to you also. Now, I'm telling you, Paul said this was a fruit that would abound to their account. Excuse me. Their giving was sacrificial and sure was well-pleasing to the Lord. Paul said, you have shared with me of what God has given you, but my God will supply all your needs. This text is a promise to all of God's own and a special promise to all who put his kingdom first and seek his righteousness. Unbelief in this promise has caused discontentment and disobedience among men. Christians are sometimes afraid to put God first in their lives. But all who put this text to the test has found it to be true. We will study this text under three considerations: the promise, the resource of it, and all inclusiveness of it. Now here's the promise. My God shall supply all your need. Now God has promises throughout the Bible. In 1 Peter 5:7 it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now let me ask you, have you cast all your care upon him? In Hebrews 13:5-7, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you hear? He will never, never forsake you. So that a man may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, this is from God's unerring word. You can believe it. You know, I was kind of run out of Georgia many years ago for taking my stand with the blacks. They called me all kinds of names. And I told them they weren't reading out of the same book that I was. I said, God is no respecter of people. Why should you be? I told them God was colorblind, and that infuriated them all the more. Well, they quit paying me. I was the director of mission. And they was going to starve me out. Well, I'm not lazy. And so I went out and went to work. And I got, I think it was $4 an hour carpentry. One day I said to my wife, well, I've had it. I'm leaving this stinking Georgia, and I'm going to where God tells me to stop. I drove from Georgia to Colorado and stopped to see my son, who was living in Colorado Springs. He said, Dad, what are you going to do? I said, go back to work. He said, beside preaching, roofing is all that you know. Hey, I was 57 years old that time. I called several roofing companies, and I said I was looking for a job. I got hired the same day. Roofing is hard when you're 57, I'll guarantee you. It wasn't long. They made me foreman. I missed my wife and family and who were still living in Georgia, waiting for me to make enough money to bring them to Colorado. It started raining, so I flew down to Moultrie and loaded up what we could in a trailer, and we got started to Colorado. Well, I got a new job in Denver, so I drove every day from Colorado Springs to Denver. I'd leave at 5 a.m. and get home at 7:30. Now, friends, I was tired out. My wife and I took a motel in Denver, and Jean started looking for a house to rent. I came home one night, and Jean said, I found us a house. I said, how much is the rent? She said, $125. So we drove up to take a look, and I said, you're kidding. That house will rent for $250. We found out the two doctors who had a clinic down the street owned it. But lo and behold, would you believe it, they were still in the clinic. Well, one of them was. I walked in there, and I said, I'd like to rent your house. My wife said it rents for $125. He said, that's right. My friend, it was a beautiful home. A district attorney had to build it years before. Had a huge circular fireplace, several bedrooms, a basement. It was just everything you wanted, a nice yard. And I was making $350 a week. We still had two sons and two daughters living with us. Jean said, how are we ever going to get enough money to bring the rest of our furniture from Georgia? And I remembered a few years before I'd purchased an insurance policy, but when things got tough, I had to drop it. I knew there was a little cash left in the policy, and I figured it around $150. I called them on the phone, and they said, yes, Mr. Moe, you have over $800. So I said, please send it to me. My teenage daughter and my wife got on a bus and rode all the way to Moultrie, Georgia. She rented a huge, the biggest U-Haul trailer you can get, and a big trailer, hired some men to load it, and she and my daughter left for Denver. There was a shortage of gas during that time, so sometimes they could only buy 5 gallons at a time. And you know, in a big truck, that don't do much. The biggest thing my wife had ever driven was a pickup. She drove that huge truck to Denver, got caught in a snowstorm. Now, what does it say? My God shall supply all your needs. I contacted a radio station KPOF, and I said, I'd like to have a call-in program on your station. Dr. Dalemach said, send me a promo tape. Now, I'd had years of radio in North Dakota and Youngstown, Ohio, and also in Georgia. But did you know there was no other Christian service station, boy, I'm cracking up, a radio station that would even talk to me about being on the program? He said, well, you're not well known. Well, of course I wasn't well known. I'm still not well known. But nonetheless, I sent this tape to Dr. Dalemach, and I've been on that station for 26 years. And I really thank Dr. Dalemach because he saw maybe something that a lot of those stations didn't see. Now, it is a sure promise, he said, shall. Never doubt any of God's shalls. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. Friends, God has never broken a promise, and he will keep his promise to you tonight. Now, here's the resources of it. My God shall supply all that you need from his glorious resources in Christ Jesus. That's the Phillips translation. God has a great store of riches. glorious resources from which he supplies our needs in and through Jesus Christ, Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. Hebrews 4:15. But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. You recall when in the book of Genesis there was a great famine in the land, that people went to Pharaoh to buy bread and grain. Pharaoh told them to go to Joseph, and Joseph opened all of his storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. See, God supplied their needs in spite of a great famine in the land. And I'll tell you something. Had Joseph not happened, all the problems that happened to Joseph had not happened, these people would have starved. See, when you have trials and tribulations, and there's a good point, God's going to do something with it. You know, it's hard to say, well, I know this heart attack was a wonderful thing. Well, it sure might have been. It sure might have been. I'm not complaining. God has taken care of us, and he always will, because he said he would. See, God's riches are both spiritual and material. Now, in Psalms 24, it tells us about the material riches. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. Now, you need spiritual riches. 2 Corinthians, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That sounds like a parable, like a spiritual, you know what I'm trying to say. Jesus was not rich on this earth, but he was rich in heaven. And he became poor. He was humiliated. He was cursed. He was spat upon. But he did it because he loves you. He loves me too. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all inclusive is this, all your need. Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, I want to ask you, do you need material substance? Read Proverbs 9:10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst with new wine. You know, friends, listen to me. I know a lot of people think I'm a dingbat and, well, all this and that. But you know, I really honestly believe that tithing is of God. I really mean that. I mean, my wife and I learned that early in our Christian lives. See, I was willing to give my dollar every Sunday. Sure, I thought that was pretty good. But when I found out that God wanted more. And friends, it's not the money that God wants. If you don't give him your life, he doesn't need your money. He wants someone that will love him, and someone will follow him, and someone will obey him and worship him. See, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. But this is a good test for your heart, whether you're willing to give as God prospers you. And that's why I've said so many times, I've told you this before, but when I first learned the secret of tithing was, when I heard about it, I thought, oh, I can't do that. Well, you know, I hadn't been saved but a short time, and I still owed a lot of bar bills. And one day a man called me and asked me to come over and roof his building. Well, I said, I'd love to bid it, and I wouldn't bid it. He said, but you got to do it on Sunday. Well, I said, I hate to do that. I'm just a baby Christian, and I really don't want to work on Sunday. Oh, he said that. He said, the ox is in the ditch. Go ahead. But I called my dear pastor, and I said, Brother Tom, I've got to work Sunday. He said, what do you mean you got to work Sunday? Well, I said, this deacon of this owns this big building wants me to come and roof it. He said, you tell that deacon he's not a very good deacon, and you come to church and forget that job. But I said, I need the money. He said, you need the Lord more than you need this money. I didn't go down there and didn't roof it on Sunday. He called me Monday. He said, Cecil, if you can't do it on Sunday, when can you do it? I said, during the week. By the way, he said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want the more expensive roof, and I made $300 or $400 more money by waiting on the Lord and doing what I was supposed to. Thank God for that godly pastor. He knew that as a baby Christian, I needed to be in church. I needed to be in Sunday school. I needed to learn what God could do for me. Now, God supplied our need in beside. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. If you need strength tonight, read that. Pray about it. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Remember, whatever your needs are, God will supply of his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. But remember this, all your needs come to us by Jesus Christ, but you come to him tonight. Friends, remember me telling you for the past 43 years I've worked to preach the gospel. I've had very few people help support my ministry. And yet, when my ministry had a need, God supplied it. You say, Cecil, I've heard you ask for help on your broadcast. Friends, you have heard me say, if you would like to help us financially for our prison ministry, it would be greatly appreciated. I do not make demands on you. And I try to help you spiritually because that's all that I can do. Social Security is a wonderful thing, but it does not go far enough. So I can't help people financially. Now, at Christmas time, we give Christmas baskets to needy families. And you people are part of that. You don't get browbeaten. We tell you, if you'd like to, you can. Friends, it is more blessed to give and receive. It really, honestly is. And I found that in my young Christian life. I know that there are listeners tonight who needed this message. And it comes from God's holy, unerring word. And it's true. No, I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. God is not a genie. And all these blessings are through Christ Jesus the Lord. I have heard people say, you send $1,000 into this ministry, and your bills will be paid, you'll get a job, and your health will be restored. Friends, I cannot promise you that, nor any preacher in this world cannot promise you that from the Word of God. I could say, eat, drink, and be merry, and you go out and get drunk. But the Bible goes on and says, but thou fool, tonight thy soul is required of you. Now, there's a lot of con people in this business, friends, and I knew one. Friend of mine he wasn't a close friend, but he was a friend of mine. And he had a healing meeting, and he'd take a tent, and he'd get his daughter, he'd put her in a wheelchair. This is a true story. He'd put her in a wheelchair, and she'd go down the aisle, and she'd get healed and get up out. You know, friends, listen to me. You know what's so sad about that? You cannot get up there and do things for the Lord and then preen your feathers as if you've done something. God didn't make a show, didn't make a carnival out of his healing. Nor did Peter, nor did any other disciples. God wants your heart before he ever wants your money. Don't you never forget that. Can you go back to a place in your life right now? Can you go back to a place when the Holy Spirit of God convicted you and told you you were a sinner? And then the Holy Spirit called you to repent of your sins, and you did. All right, you know what happened? Then your name was immediately written in the Lamb Book of Life. And he said, I give you eternal life. No man shall pluck thee out of my hand. That's what the Bible tells us. Well, now the thing is, there are a lot of people who say, yeah, but Cecil, wait a minute, I get awful tired of that. You mean to tell me that you have sinned since you've been a Christian? Yes, I have. And I'm not proud of it, but I have. And what did I do when I did sin and I realized that I did wrong? I went to him, confessed it, turned my back on it, and he forgave me. He'll do the same thing for you tonight. Now, none of us are perfect. Of course, I know there are those who feel they are, and I'm not condemning them. I'm not condemning them at all. But it's not, the Bible said, if we say we're without sin, we're a liar and the truth's not in us. Now, that's what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. That's what the book says. So don't run around the country preening your feathers thinking you're perfect and you're looking down your nose at those less fortunate. When we go to prison, I feel a real kinship with those men. You say, well, then that's because you was an old good drunk. No, I feel a kinship to them because I know what I go there for. I go there to tell them about Jesus. I go there and tell them how they can have a new life in Christ Jesus. And you know what, friends? You can have a new life in Christ Jesus tonight. If you don't know the Lord, then what you need to do is the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. He draws at your heart. You need to recognize that you can't get to heaven by being good. And you can't get to heaven because you have money. And you can't get to heaven because you joined a church or taking the Lord's Supper or being baptized. The only way you're going to ever get to heaven is by first repenting of your sins and inviting Christ in to be your Lord and Savior. Now, here's a question I'd like to ask you tonight. Would you like to do that? Would you like to get that old monkey off your back? Alcoholic friend of mine, would you like to get cured of alcohol? Drug addict, would you like to be cured of their drug addiction? Whoremonger? Homosexual? Lesbian? God doesn't hate you. He hates your sin. He doesn't hate you. I see where that preacher's up there in Wyoming saying, God hates fags. God hates fags. I feel sorry for him because he don't know the Jesus of Calvary. If he really loved those people, he'd be telling them about Jesus. Believe me, friends, you can't hate someone and be right with God. If you'd like to trust Jesus tonight, bow your head at me right now and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll come into my heart and save me tonight for Jesus' sake. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. My phone number, dear friend, is 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. If you'd like to talk to me, tell me about your praying that Jesus save you. If I can help you spiritually, be sure and call. And all, friend, don't call and put down your church or your pastor. We're here to help people spiritually, and that's not going to help you. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.